In the midst of a lush, vibrant green expanse, located in a quaint rural stretch of Essex, close to the eastern shores of England, there once resided an imposing, Gothic-inspired brick edifice known as Borley Rectory. This architectural marvel, erected in the year 1863 under the guidance of Reverend Henry Dawson Ellis Bull, soon became the cherished dwelling for him and his extensive family of 14. The plot of land upon which this rectory was constructed bore an enigmatic and lengthy history, stretching back well before its foundations were laid. Legend has it that this very site was once graced by a monastery in the 14th century, a place shrouded in dark allure. Local folklore whispers of a tragic love story that unfolded within this historical backdrop. A monk residing in the monastery reportedly fell deeply in love with a nun from a neighboring convent. Their love, forbidden and clandestine, blossomed in secret until their affair was tragically uncovered. The aftermath was grim. The monk faced a dire fate, being executed by hanging at the exact location where Borley Rectory would later stand. As for the nun, her punishment was equally harsh and more narrowing, as she was condemned to a living tomb, sealed alive within the convent walls. It is against the backdrop of love, betrayal, and tragedy that the spectral occurrences at Borley Rectory are believed to have originated, casting a long shadow over the property. These chilling tales and witnessed apparitions have catapulted Borley Rectory into the halls of paranormal history, marking it as one of the globe's most infamously haunted locations. Almost immediately after Henry Bull and his family made the estate their home, they found themselves engulfed in a barrage mysterious occurrences. The onset was marked by inexplicable sounds, footsteps echoing in empty corridors, the persistent murmur of flowing water where there should be none, disembodied voices whispering in the dead of night, bells chiming independently despite severed connections, and objects that seemed to move of their own volition. However, these initial oddities quickly intensified in frequency. The children, particularly vulnerable and perceptive, reported the reoccurring vision of a sinister, ghostly nun wandering the premises. This eerie figure wasn't a fleeting glimpse. It manifested itself repeatedly, observed by multiple members of the Bull family. Among the children, the youngest daughter, Ethel, bore the brunt of the spectral harassment. She was subjected to physical assaults by an invisible assailant, enduring pushes, slaps, and with such force, they left behind physical evidence of her encounters. Adding to the atmosphere of dread was the legend of a ghostly carriage pulled by horses and driven by two headless specters. These specters raced through the surrounding area with reckless abandon. This and other chilling encounters persisted, weaving a tapestry that seemed to grow more complex with time, enduring well past the death of Henry Bull in 1892, when he passed the property onto his son, Harry Bull. The legacy of unsettling phenomena thus continued. During Harry Bull's tenure, the eerie manifestations at the estate not only persisted, but seemed to intensify, with numerous bizarre occurrences recorded. On a particularly unsettling day, while Harry was tending to his garden, his dog suddenly erupted into a frenzy of barks, displaying a mix of terror and confusion, hiding behind a tree for reasons that weren't immediately apparent. Upon investigating the cause of his dog's distress, Harry reported a chilling sight. A headless figure emerging from behind the foliage, proceeding to board a phantom carriage that eerily glided into silence. This was not a solitary encounter. Harry experienced several such unnerving incidents with the ghostly carriage, which appeared to race by, only to dissolve into thin air moments later. Amidst these spectral happenings, the figure of the ghostly nun remained a constant. She was often observed in full daylight, roaming the grounds and unsettlingly peering through windows. On numerous occasions, Harry and his family's dining experiences were interrupted by the unwelcomed sight of her face, often gazing in through the window, an occurrence that became so frequent and disturbing that Harry eventually took measures to brick up the dining room window in an attempt to shield his family from her intrusive stares. These ongoing supernatural events under Harry's watch contributed to a thickening atmosphere of terror. Following Harry Bull's death in 1927, the rectory found itself draped in silence, temporarily forsaken until Reverend Guy Eric Smith and his wife decided to call it their home. No sooner had they unpacked their belongings than they found themselves plunged into a realm of unexplained phenomena. Phenomena that defied rational explanation. Their new abode seemed to pulsate with a life of its own, illuminated by wandering orbs of light that danced through the darkness, and haunted by the spectral vision of a nun whose presence was as persistent as it was unsettling. The ghostly carriage with its headless drivers continued its nocturnal journeys, accompanied by shadowy figures that flitted just beyond the corner of one's eye. The air was often pierced by the echo of footsteps and the mournful tolling of bells that rang from nowhere. The most chilling discovery, however, came at the hands of Smith's wife during an ordinary day of household chores. Hidden within the depths of an old cupboard, wrapped in a forgotten paper package, she stumbled upon a discovery that sent shivers down her spine. A human skull, its empty sockets seemingly staring back at her. This macabre find was soon accompanied by auditory disturbances. Hoarse whispers filled the air, and the sound of heavy footsteps resonated through the empty halls, creating an atmosphere thick with tension and unanswered questions. Reverend Smith found himself compelled to arm himself with a stick as he moved about his own home, a testament to the unsettling presence that seemed to stalk them from the shadows. Driven to the brink of insanity by these chilling experiences, the Smiths reached out to the Daily Mirror in 1929, desperate for answers. The newspaper responded by dispatching a man named Harry Price, a renowned paranormal researcher, along with his team. They were tasked with unraveling the secrets that lay hidden within the walls of the Borley Rectory. a mission that promised to delve deep into the unknown. Shortly after his arrival at Borley Rectory, Harry Price found himself quickly immersed in the intense paranormal activities that seemed to permeate out of nowhere. Throughout his investigation, Price documented witnessing several unexplainable events that defied logic. Objects were observed levitating and hurling through the air, propelled by something that they couldn't see, while cryptic messages eerily formed on mirrors, seemingly tapped out by ghostly fingers. In a particularly chilling incident, Price and his assistant watched in disbelief as a glass candlestick floated ominously before them, only to violently shatter against the wall, sending a cascade of glass fragments scattering in all directions. Moreover, Price reported encounters with the spectral figures that had become almost legendary at Borley Rectory. He claimed to have seen the haunting visage of the nun, headless coach drivers eerily navigating the night, and even the ghost of Henry Bull himself, looming within the shadow-filled corridors. They even purported to capture photographic evidence of an apparition, adding a tangible, albeit ghostly, chapter to the rectory's storied history. However, it's worth noting that many of the extraordinary phenomena reported by Price was not corroborated by the experiences of the Smiths, leading to skepticism about the veracity of some events. Despite this, the Smiths had encountered enough unexplained disturbances to make the decision to leave the rectory in 1929, less than a year after they had made it their home. Price's detailed accounts of the bizarre occurrences at Borley Rectory were widely publicized, catapulting the story into the realm of public fascination and debate. This was the moment that the haunting of Borley Rectory transcended mere local folklore to become a captivating mystery that captured the imagination of the wider public, imbuing the rectory with a mystique that continues to intrigue and baffle to this day. Following Harry Price's investigation, which earned the property the title of the most haunted house in England, the residence welcomed its new occupants. In 1930, the incoming family, comprised of Reverend Lionel Foister, a relative of the initial proprietor, Henry Bull, alongside his wife Mary Ann and their adopted daughter Adelaide. The transition into their new home was anything but ordinary, as it seemed that they also took possession of its lingering spectral residence, inheriting a legacy of encounters that would defy explanation once again. The Foisters were plunged into a realm of mysterious occurrences that seemed to intensify with time. Their daily lives were interrupted by an array of inexplicable events that would test the skepticism of even the staunchest doubter. Objects with minds of their own would be thrown through the air. Rocks, glasses, and bottles quickly became projectiles used by unseen forces. Windows shattered spontaneously as if struck by invisible stones, while doors developed wills of their own, locking and unlocking in a whimsical dance that left the family often stranded or intrusively barred from their own rooms. The household's furniture seemed to partake in a silent conspiracy, shifting positions when no one was watching, contributing to the discerning atmosphere that pervaded the estate. Objects would mysteriously vanish as well, only to reappear in the most unlikely places, as if the house itself was playing a macabre game of hide-and-seek with the living. Adding to the eerie ambiance were once again the inexplicable sounds of non-existent ringing bells. And these were accompanied by unsettling sounds of heavy breathing by no one that could be seen. Footsteps echoed in the halls, which again suggested the presence of unseen visitors. Visitors that were treading the corridors alongside the living. Perhaps the most chilling aspect of the haunting was the apparent fixation of the malevolent presence on Mary Ann. This unseen force seemed to single her out for torment more than anyone else in the household. On numerous occasions, she experienced the sensation of being pushed, poked, and even slapped. Objects would be hurled directly at her, making her the unfortunate focus of these paranormal attacks. In one particularly harrowing incident, Mary Ann woke up in the dead of night, only to find herself struggling to breathe under the oppressive weight of a mattress, as if the entity was attempting to suffocate her in her own bed. Following this terrifying event, the walls of the rectory began to bear cryptic messages. Phrases like, "Mary Ann, please help," and "Mary Ann, light mass prayers," began appearing mysteriously. There were also moments when she was violently thrown from her bed or pinned down by the invisible oppressor. Experiences so disturbing that they convinced Foister to undertake exorcisms on two separate occasions. Unfortunately, though, these attempts would not only fail, but seem to anger the spirit even further, resulting in a frenzy of fist-sized stones being thrown at him. Adding yet another layer, Mary Ann reported sightings of the spectral figure of Bull, suggesting his lingering presence still was there within the confines of the rectory. Numerous paranormal investigators, captivated by the increasingly famous tale, hypothesized that the unsettling poltergeist manifestations might have been emanating from Mary Ann, or perhaps their daughter. Pinning down the true source, however, remained an elusive task. As the Foisters vacated the property in 1935, Price seized the moment to re-enter the scene, eager to delve deeper into the mysteries that Borley Rectory seemed to jealously guard. Armed with the latest in ghost hunting technology and a keen sense of determination, Price embarked on an extensive recruitment drive, gathering a diverse group of 48 individuals. Together, they were to join him in his investigative quest, taking turns to stay overnight at the haunted premises, each one hoping to witness firsthand the peculiar occurrences that had captured the attention of the supernatural community. Price's ambition didn't stop there. He envisioned spending an entire year within the walls of the rectory to thoroughly document its myriad of mysteries. This wasn't just another ghost hunting expedition. It was a meticulously planned operation aimed at peeling back the layers of secrecy that shrouded the house, with a mix of anticipation and a touch of the unknown. Price and his team prepared to embark on what promised to be an unprecedented exploration of the supernatural, a venture brimming with the potential to unlock the secrets of one of the most hauntingly captivating locations known. Throughout the duration of their year-long investigation at the property, the team reported a series of extraordinary findings, among which a particularly compelling séance conducted one evening stands out. In this session, the psychic medium, Helen Glanville, allegedly established communication with a spirit who introduced itself as Mary Larie. This spirit claimed a past life as a nun in France before making the life-altering decision to leave her convent, journey to England, and enter into marriage with a wealthy individual named Henry Waldegrave. Tragically, the tale took a dark turn, with Mary Larie recounting how she was brutally strangled by her husband and her body disgracefully abandoned in the cellar of the rectory. It was Mary's spirit, according to the narrative, that sought out Marianne, pleading for assistance from beyond the grave. In a subsequent chilling encounter, Clanville made contact with another spirit, this one identifying itself as Sune Emera, displaying a more ominous intent. It issued a dire prophecy, declaring its plan to set the entire structure ablaze in 1938, with the aftermath revealing the remains of a murdered man amidst the ruins. In addition to these startling communications, the team encountered frequent poltergeist activities, areas of intense, unexplainable cold, bizarre non-human footprints in the snow, and purported sightings of the ghostly nun who'd become a figure of intrigue whilst delving into Borley Rectory's past. Taking on the role of chronicler, Price meticulously documented these investigations, their findings, and the haunting tales woven into the fabric of the rectory. The culmination of this exhaustive research was presented to the public in two volumes, The Most Haunted House in England, 1940, and The End of Borley Rectory in 1946. In what could only be described as a peculiar twist of fate, closely aligning with the ominous prediction made by the spirit they had contacted, the year 1939 unfolded with a startling incident. The Borley Rectory's new proprietor, Captain W.H. Gregson, accidentally dropped an oil lamp, igniting a fierce blaze that swept through the structure. The resulting inferno severely damaged the manor, leaving it a charred shell of its former glory. In the aftermath, during an exploration in 1943, Price ventured into the remnants of the cellar, and amidst the debris, he discovered what he believed to be the remains of a young woman. This claim sparked controversy, with some skeptics questioning the human origin of these remains. Following the fire, an array of occurrences were reported in the vicinity of the now abandoned and fire-scarred rectory. Residents and visitors spoke of hearing inexplicable ghostly laughter echoing through the night, witnessing eerie lights with no discernible source, and encountering frequent malfunctions of electrical devices. Moreover, the spectral figure of the nun who had become a haunting staple of the Borley lore was sighted with unsettling regularity. Additional reports came from individuals, including World War II soldiers stationed nearby, who experienced the sensation of unseen assailants hurling stones at them. These mysterious events persisted until the rectory met its ultimate fate, being demolished in 1944. However, the demolition did not mark the end. Rather, it seemed to dilute the frequency and intensity of the paranormal phenomena. As the years progressed, leading up to Harry Price's death in 1948, the tales of Borley Rectory's haunted legacy gradually receded into the shadows of history. The once vivid accounts of supernatural occurrences and ghostly sightings transitioned into whispered legends. This shift consigned Borley Rectory and its ghostly inhabitants to the realm of folklore, transforming it into a haunting echo of the past. In the years that followed since its peak of notoriety, the tale of the haunted Borley Rectory became embroiled in controversy, attracting a level of scrutiny that far exceeded expectations. Harry Price's foundational report, once a cornerstone of paranormal literature, found itself under the critical microscope of the Society for Psychical Research, or SPR, upon its release. This organization, steeped in investigations of the supernatural, raised doubts about the authenticity of the sightings reported by Price. They posed that a significant number of these incidents could be attributed to natural explanations, or could have been overly dramatized, or were outright fabrications crafted by Price himself. The skepticism surrounding Price's work intensified notably after his passing, when a Daily Mail journalist who had accompanied Price during his explorations at the rectory stepped forward with allegations that cast a shadow over the entirety of the findings. These allegations accused Price of concocting the entire narrative. And this claim was compounded by an even more startling revelation from Marianne Forster, a central figure in the Borley Rectory saga, would later confess that the haunting that they had experienced was a fabrication. The narrative took yet another twist with the publication of a book, 2000, by Louis Mayerling, boldly titled, We Faked the Ghosts of Borley Rectory. Mayerling's work delves into the heart of the controversy, suggesting that the stories of the haunting that had captivated the public were the result of elaborate deceptions by the Bowles, the Foyers, Harry Price, and his investigative team. According to this account, these individuals were not the honest seekers of truth they claimed to be, but rather skilled illusionists and storytellers, weaving a complex web of ghostly tales that blurred the lines between reality and the supernatural. This perspective cast the Borley Rectory in a new light, suggesting that its legacy may be more about the human penchant for crafting narratives that captivate and intrigue, rather than tangible encounters in the supernatural realm. Despite this swirling vortex of skepticism, it's fascinating to observe that a substantial number of individuals still staunchly stand behind the authenticity of the Borley Rectory case. It strikes one as peculiar, almost beyond belief, that such a diverse group could mastermind an elaborate hoax spanning several decades with such precision. Numerous witnesses have passionately contended that the events witnessed could not have been the product of mere trickery, adding layers of intrigue to the narrative. This conviction among many has ensured that the eerie saga of Borley Rectory continues to captivate and bewitch minds, securing its place as a timeless, haunting narrative that ignites fervent discussions, debates, even to this day. But the question still looms large. What truly unfolded within those walls? Was there any substance to the tales? Or are we merely chasing shadows of a long-standing urban myth, meticulously woven by cunning fabricators? The truth is up to you to decide. With the principal characters and investigators of these mysterious events long past, in the rectory itself, erased from the physical world, we find ourselves ensnared in a web of speculation. It appears that the tale of Borley Rectory is destined to hover in the realms of the unknown, a ghostly whisper from the past that continues to puzzle and mesmerize those who dare to delve into its depths. Thank you guys so much for watching this latest video. If you enjoyed it, please leave me a like, a comment down below with your thoughts. Don't forget to subscribe with the bell on and share this video around. All of those things help me out so much more than you know. I hope you're enjoying our historical hauntings recently. They're soon going to be accompanied by some really scary stories, so certainly get ready for that. As always, guys, thank you so much for supporting me. This has been Cody here at Mystery Archives. Remember to please stay safe out there, and take care. I'll see you next time.